raising the resurrected body. Confession. But Lot's wife, behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. There are some things in life that are better off left behind us for many reasons. Some of them are because of decisions that we've made. I would imagine if you took a moment and looked back, there are some things in your life that you've done in haste, that you wished you hadn't. You didn't like the results of it, whether in your own life or in the lives of others. Maybe even decisions that you made that you planned, but yet you look back and you realize you should have acted differently. You seek to do a do-over. I want to tell you this morning, I serve a God who opens his arms to a do-over.
Amen.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Kelsey and I visited St. Peter's Basilica while in Rome a few years ago. And something that struck me, something that was unusual for me as we walked through this church that felt more like a museum. They had these little wooden structures throughout. Little confessionals. Confession is a major doctrine of the Catholic Church. Their code of canon law, number 989, states, after having reached the age of discretion, each member of the faithful is obligated to confess their grave sins at least once a year. So they count it as one of their sacraments, one of their physical, visible acts seeking the grace of God. I know Baptists, we often don't even use the term sacrament. But we have sacraments. We have two that we observe regularly. That is baptism and communion. Now I'm not here this morning suggesting that we should build a confessional. And nor am I suggesting that it is required of you in order to receive what it is God wants you to receive through confession, that it is required of you to do it through your pastor. But I want to tell you there's much value. Much value in that act.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Rick has asked me to read the scripture of Psalm 32, so if you all would like to flip to that again, then I'll go ahead and start reading it. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord and forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty God is ours, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble, and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, but may be controlled by bit and brittle, for they will not come to you. Many are the words of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. Rejoice in the Lord, and be glad, you righteousness, sin all who are upright in heart. Thank you.
Then would you ask the blessing upon the scripture and our sermon this morning?
Father God, we thank you. We can come here today We all come here for the same purpose. That is to worship your Son, Jesus Christ. We all have sinned, fallen short. Some of us have even sinned when we knew we were sinning. We did it anyway. But you have such a gracious, merciful heart, and you love us so much. If we truly confess it and truly believe in you, you will forgive us. It's hard for our mind to grasp such a love. That's why we work harder, we strive to be more like you. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we worship you. We're here for you today. In your name, amen.
Amen. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Can you admit to maybe at times having sleepless nights? Maybe even days where you're just restless? I had some sleepless nights. As a matter of fact, I had some last week. But there are times, though, when I have those sleepless nights where I feel as though I know what's going on. I know what's happening as to why I'm having those sleepless nights. Last week, I don't know, I think I'm just getting old. Sometimes I've heard some people say that happens. I just had a couple nights I couldn't sleep. But there are times in my life where I knew something. I knew what was going on. Matter of fact, I can even remember some times when I began to pray to the Lord and I thought, I just can't even pray to you, God. There are times when you just know. You know what's going on. Whether it's turmoil from outside or whether it's turmoil from inside. God wants to come alongside us in those times. Again, whether it's by a fault of our own or whether it's by the fault of others, God wants to come alongside us to help us live the resurrected life. The psalmist says, "But when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." So what was it that was causing this eternal pain, this internal pain? There's five things that I think that are important that I see in the psalm this morning, Psalm 32. It was too heavy for him to carry. David recognized that it was weighing him down. It was affecting everything he was doing. He wants us to know that he was able to find relief, that he was able to set down that heavy load. And he wants to encourage us that we should be looking to God as an advisor and a hiding place. An advisor that will hopefully keep us from getting to those points where we need to wrestle and seek forgiveness. But even when we do, God is still wanting to be that hiding place. And lastly, he wants us to embrace the grace and mercy and love of God. It's too heavy. David, after struggling some time, we don't know how long, but he'd been struggling. Something was twisting at his gut. He just didn't feel right. He knew something wasn't right. But he doesn't really tell us how long this was happening. Was it hours? Was it days? Was it months? He doesn't explain it. He just says that what he had, what was going on in his life, was too heavy. And it was due to his unconfessed sin. It was weighing him down. It was limiting him from being able to do some of the simple things in life that he knew he needed to do. He couldn't love his family the way he needed to. He couldn't do his job the way he needed to do. His mind kept being drawn toward that issue. lost his bearings. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. As I held it in, it was affecting me. My strength was dried up and by the heat of summer, giving us this picture, this idea of you standing out in the middle of the Sahara Desert when you have the glass, but it's got nothing but dry sand in it. It was weighing him down, but he knew he could find removal and relief. Removal of the weight and a sense of relief in his life. He could find it. He recognized and he knew that God could do this for him. And I would imagine when he wrote this song that he had done this many times before. He just sensed in his heart, now it's time to write it down with the hopes to encourage others when that happens. Maybe possibly picture this clean sheet of paper at the beginning of class, at the beginning of a learning moment when you're just starting afresh. Or maybe like Friday when I mowed my lawn, and it looked messy and all that, and I mowed it over. Just this morning, I walked out and I looked at it, and I looked out the back glass, and I thought, yeah, it looks nice. Why can't it stay that way? Fresh, clean, the way it's supposed to. God wants to do that in your heart. The previous mess in the mind of God and in the confessor is behind. This is another sermon, but I want to tell you, you know, sometimes others don't want to let that go. Huh? You got to let them work that out. But I want to tell you, between you and God, you can put it behind you. And you can move on and live the resurrected life. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord counts no iniquity. David here opens the psalm speaking of him gaining blessedness, blessings from God, a sense of peace in his heart that it's okay, that he's accepted, that he's whole again. But understand, he wasn't just satisfied with this. He wanted to go further. He was thinking ahead. He was thinking, you know what? I want to try to get myself out of these times when I have to go seek forgiveness. He wants to think ahead. He wants to reflect on his life. If you drive to work every day and you keep hitting the same mud hole, eventually you think, well, you know, maybe I should change lanes, or maybe I should take a different route. David was saying, I want to be better. I want to get better. Why should I keep doing this? The psalmist testifies to us about his plan and encourages us to let God be our advisor. How about going to God ahead of time instead of waiting to the moment when you are in the mess? Get God involved in the beginning. He wants to instruct you. He wants to be a regular part of your life. He wants to be with you Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, in your workplaces, in your homes, in your families, in your communities. Yes, in your social media. He wants to be in there. He wants to be a part of that. Don't be like the horse or mule who needs a bit and bridle. You see, the horse, those of you who've been around horses, I had some when I was young, you know that horse does have a mind of its own. Sometimes it makes decisions that he wants to go to certain places. I remember I rode one at his barn fall. I rode the horse for something like 5 or 6 hours. Now, we'd stop periodically and rest it. But we had been out, away from his home, the barn, for like 5 or 6 hours. And we were just going along in a meadow, and all of a sudden he just locked his legs. He gave me the warning, and we weren't going fast, but he just locked his legs up. Initially I thought, what is going on? Well, He would not move a muscle. He would not go forward. He wouldn't go to the side. I got off him. I'm trying to encourage him. I'm trying to talk to him. I didn't really press hard or anything. But I was trying to get him to move, and he would not move a muscle. Eventually, I turned him around. If you know a horse, you know what happened at that point. He was trotting happily. He decided it was time to go back to the barn. He had a mind of his own. You know why God has given us that kind of freedom? We have a mind of our own. We can make choices. But the psalmist is saying, listen, don't just sit back and let circumstances hit you in the face. Don't wait for things to force you one direction or another. Don't wait for the discipline of God. Listen, the Bible tells us that God disciplines His children. But it's always with the intention of guiding us back. But you know what's even better? For us to not wait for that bridle or that push or that pull. Let's start ahead of time. Looking for direction. Do it before you're caught up in the problems of your own creation.
Amen.
He makes a reference here to the rush of great waters. I think he's talking about it. That's the turmoil. When you're in the midst of that turmoil, sometimes it's hard to hear, listen, and respond to God. I envision this idea of being at the bottom of the Niagara Falls. If you ever been up there and seen that, just imagine that turmoil, that pounding, that swirling that's happening at the bottom of that falls. I think the psalmist here is trying to get this idea that, listen, don't wait until you're in the midst of that. Be talking to God along the way. Maybe avoid those times in life. But listen, I'm going to tell you, turmoil will come to you from others. That's true. It's not what this psalmist is really addressing. He's addressing those times when we make the decisions that put us in it. But it's going to be hard to hear from God in the midst of all that. So much noise. Begin to listen to Him ahead of time. Work on that relationship before you get there. But through it all, God, David found God to be a great hiding place. He tells us to let God be your hiding place. I hope you have someone in your life that you can go to, that when you're there, you just know the exception. That you can say anything, doesn't matter what happened, you just know the exception. You just know in your heart. Praise God, I have some people like that in my life. Someone who just accepts you for who you are and wants what's best for you and always has hope for the future. I try to be that with my girls. I want that, my two daughters. I want them to see me as a hiding place that they can come to, that they can realize that no matter what's going on, no matter what the mess is, no matter whether it's their creation or the creation of others, that I'm still accepting. That I still want what's best for them. That I still have hope for the future. I have that for my kids. I have that desire in my heart. You understand, God has that desire for you. The psalmist there is declaring that God is his hiding place. And he wants to be your hiding place as well. The psalmist also recognized that God has in the past preserved him from trouble. He hasn't always made the wrong decisions, but he's noticed. He's thanked him. He's taking time to reflect on the times that God has been there and helped him avoid those times. He's encouraging us to embrace the love of God. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. So David there again is acknowledging wickedness in his own life in this confession. So listen, first of all, he said many are the sorrows of the wicked as others, but yet he's speaking of his own wickedness. You see, the wickedness that he's referring to here is not his sins. He's referring to those individuals who refuse to acknowledge their sin and go before God and seek the grace and mercy that He so freely offers. He recognized wickedness in his own life. But he also understood the grace and mercy that God offers. The wicked are those who make no attempt to relieve themselves by turning to God in trouble, either before or after. Regardless of the root of the trouble you find yourself in, God wants to love you through it. But you have a choice. You can choose to embrace His love, to gain what God wants you to gain out of it, or you can continue pushing aside. Ignore it. The psalmist says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous," those, again, in this case, he's talking about the righteous are those who confess their sins to God. Those who have gone to the throne of grace and asked for the cleansing that God so freely offers. I have a Bible verse that I've underlined that I went to periodically in my life to remind myself of this forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Amen.
I look at this and I say, there's an if here. If we confess, if we choose to go to Him, then who's the one who's faithful here? God's the one who's faithful. And it is just for Him. It is right. It's in His nature. That's what He wants to do. He considers it just and right and good to forgive you. He doesn't withhold that forgiveness because He looks at you and says, "You're just not worthy of this forgiveness." He does this the opposite. Listen, all of you are worthy. You just need to come. And you can go to the bank and be refused to loan them. Or you can go to a gas station and they can shut off the gas pumps. You can be a part of a family that turns on you. A job can walk away and leave you. You can be fired. You can be laid off. But the one thing here in our lives that is always open, if you believe what the Bible says, which I do, it is that forgiveness that God wants us to have. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and He will cleanse us. We think about, again, having that clean sheet of paper. He does that for us. All we're going to do is simply turn to Him. The next verse, right there in 1 John, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Then he goes on and says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." You see, John here is trying to tell us in a letter, Christians, you ought to be regularly asking for forgiveness. If you truly understand your life, if you truly understand the pathway that God's trying to lay out for you, you should be regularly find yourself in confession. I was surprised when I looked up and they suggested, and I'm sure the Catholic Church's desire is for them to confess more often, but I was surprised it was only once a year, because I'm going to tell you, that's not enough. It's not enough. I don't say that because I know all the lives. I say that because I know what's in the book. And I know what's right and good for me and for you. We need to understand we should be regularly going to the throne of grace, seeking this forgiveness that He so freely offers. We will all face days where we need to confess. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how upright the world sees you. We all will face days when we need to stop, go to the throne of grace, and ask for forgiveness. Are you there this morning? The internal pain the psalmist was wrestling with was unconfessed sin. Is there something in your past, yesterday, last week, last month, maybe even years ago, that you need to take before the Lord? Will you give it to Him today? Give it to Him and also choose to make a decision that you want to make a better decision next time. my mother's side, who passed away when I was just in grade school. I miss her so much. Love to have seen her and grow up with her. But I remember her saying something just stuck in my mind. Every time we'd leave, or quite often when we'd leave, we'd say something about seeing you next week or something to the effect about some future event. And she would say back to us, "If it's the Lord's will." Now I think she might have added, "If weeks don't rise, but if it's the Lord's will." And that really stuck to me as a little boy. I thought, you know, that's the kind of activity, that's the kind of view that we need to have. Even if you're doing something good, reading the Word of God, preaching a message, praying, whether it's your job, or whether it's how you treat your family, whatever it is, Lord, is it your will?
That's true.
If it's your will, and if it's your will and it's right and good, then I'm going to find myself needing less often to have to go to the throne of grace. Claim the resurrected life Jesus came to give us through confession. I would imagine in a place this big, surely there's somebody here that knows in their heart they need to respond to this message. Respond as God speaks. The altar is open. It's a wonderful place to come and find some sense of relief. You can do it in your pews. Or you can race outside right now, get your car and go home and do it by your bedside. Take the time to confess to the Lord. Listen, He wants nothing but good of you. He wants you to see the hope and the joy. He wants you to live the resurrected life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this psalm, for your relationship with David. We thank you for the many good things that you brought into our lives, Lord. Lord, if you're speaking to one of us in some way, help us to listen, to hear, and to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So please stand and sing what a friend we have in Jesus. Dear Lord, we do thank you that we can find that solace with you wherever we are. Whatever's coming into our lives that we face each day, dear Lord, we know we can turn to you. We know your presence is with us and in us. Dear Lord, the things in this world that come against us or cause us to walk away from you sometimes, help us to bring those to you, dear Lord, and work those out so that we have a conscience, dear Lord, that is free from the pain that we carry when we don't follow you. So, dear Lord, be with each of us as we be in this place, along with us. Help us, dear Lord, to be able to say that we are walking with you, that we, dear Lord, can proclaim that you are alive and in our, and with us, walking with us each day. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.